Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. We are here once again. Today is Sunday, March 29th, 2015. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. And we'd like to thank all of you out there who supported us with the fundraiser.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Once again, we'll make it another year.
We will be on the air another year, like it or not.
And just to throw it out there so people know, we did not draw the ticket for the Gator. We are still selling tickets. So
anybody wants the tickets, you can call 221-0101 and talk to Linda and get some tickets. As soon as we get to the 750 magic marker, then we're going to do a raffle.
Right. So hang in there or buy more tickets.
Very good. Okay, so we're streaming worldwide. This is KCNR1460.com. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda.
Good morning.
All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on sovereignminds.com.
It's going to be a long show.
It's going to be a long show. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship. Reading Tea Party stands for limited government, fiscal responsibility, adherence to the Constitution, and not everybody's a racist like the mainstream would like you to believe.
They wouldn't do that.
No, they wouldn't lie to us, would they? Here's the quote of the day. Okay, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12. I think that's really appropriate for what
we're doing. Seems like a lot of that is happening there.
There's no spiritual wickedness in high places these days, is there?
just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll go into that later on when we talk about the bill they're going to pass to make sure that federal employees don't be able to legally watch porn while they're at work. But with that, yeah. That's a good one, isn't it? We have with us today Bill Tatro, and he is an economist, a radio talk show host. He is the author of 44th, A Presidential Conspiracy. We've had him on the show before. He's a great guest. He's very insightful and very articulate. And,
yes, he is.
Just an awesome economist. So are you with us, Bill?
Well, Mark and Linda, it's great to be here. I didn't think I was going to be able to make the show this morning because just a couple minutes ago, I finished up cleaning off my server and getting rid of 30,000 emails. I just didn't think I was going to be able to get it done in time.
So you made it, though.
So I made it. I'm here. So
it takes a little bit of time to wipe your disk clean, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're reading it one at a time, like, hi, Bob, how you doing? And, you know, I mean, I knew I could just go through 30,000 and wipe them immediately because they were all personal. But I just wanted to make sure that everyone, especially if NSA got a hold of, they gave you their interpretation of my emails, like they could. I wanted to make sure we were both in sync. So that's all.
You know, I mean, you know, we don't trust Hillary to scrub her own server with you know,
no problem here. Yeah, I mean, you know, what would be the problem with her personal emails?
And it was only after she was asked to turn over the emails and turn over the server, I guess. So, I mean, why would she?
Well, I know, but it sounds to our listeners like the three of us are going to go down the beating up Hillary route. And the only reason you had me on today, and I like the introduction, thank you so much, of the fact of I've been introduced in many, many ways, and I always love it when somebody says, let's see, porn with the SEC. Yeah, oh, okay. That was a good intro.
Sorry. That was actually no reflection on you, Bill. I was just going over stuff this morning, and from the last resistance, there's a bill to ban federal employees from watching porn while working, and it's actually moving forward.
Well, you know, just as an aside, it's amazing because I wrote a piece, and I know we're going to get to the Hillary piece, but I wrote a piece quite a while ago about the fact that most people are being paid at least $15 to $20 an hour, minimum wage. And the emails that came back, and from different individuals in Washington that came after, how can you say that? I said, go to a mall. Go to some place like Macy's, even go to McDonald's. Stand and watch an hourly worker. They will have their cell phone out. 15 to 20 to 30 minutes of the time that they're supposed to be working, they will be on their cell phone. They will be texting. They will be whatever they're doing on the cell phone, which means that if they're being paid $7.50 for the hour and they're only working a half an hour, that's actually like being paid $15 an hour. Quite honestly.
I wonder what the math is on the Caltrans workers on the shovel thing.
Oh, I don't know. And then,
we probably couldn't go that high.
Yeah, then take the math on the SEC people who are working and regulating all sorts of entities. You know, they're not regulating the people at the top. We know that. I mean, it's the people in the middle and at the bottom, but the top. But anyway. Enough diatribe, enough frivolity.
Well, getting back to Hillary Clinton, I guess she was slapped with a racketeering lawsuit this week as well. This comes from The Hill, I don't know if you know about this, but I was just reading it this morning. It alleges that during her tenure, Clinton withheld documents requested under FOIA regarding State Department waivers given to business and individuals doing business with Iran, possibly undermining U.S. Imposed sanctions. The complaint, which lists Bill, Hillary, and the Clinton Foundation as defendants, alleges the Clintons sold excess to other U.S. government officials in return for donation to their organization, which they concealed allegedly by using a private computer. So evidently somebody's trying to hit her with a racketeering RICO lawsuit, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was it? A week ago, Mitt Romney got hit with a RICO suit. So, you know, RICO seems to be in fashion for both left, right, Democrat, and Republican. But now I'm going to stun both of you because I'm going to say that all this beating up on her, and as you know, I wrote the column, which precipitated me here, probably, I think, other than I'm just an all-around good guy.
You
get me on Sunday morning.
You and Bob.
but I still, in the piece that I wrote, and many maybe listeners haven't aren't familiar with the piece because I write for Town Hall, we have about 2.5 million readers, and the piece I said was there are two givens this coming in that I'm looking at. One is the University of Kentucky, little narrow escape yesterday, but will win the NCAA. That's a given as far as I'm concerned. Full disclosure, I am a parent of an alumnus of my son graduated from the University of Kentucky. But that's a given. And the second given I said was, and let's start the shebang, Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States.
You think so, huh?
Yes, I do. And I think that there are, and I, when I did the column, I said if you do the math, but there are really two main reasons that I say this.
They're getting all this. You think they're getting all this stuff out of the way early? Is that the strategy?
Can you imagine a group of folks sitting around who are the advisors to Hillary Clinton and saying, you know, Hillary, maybe your biggest problem could be Benghazi. Let's go in a different direction. I wrote a piece about this too. Let's go in a different direction. Let's throw them something that the press can chew on and really delve into for, you can wash it and all the rest of the stuff. Imagine if they created this whole thing, this email. I'm not sure if they're that smart, but I wouldn't put it past them that they created this whole thing to divert the attention from other things, most specifically, Benghazi. And I think that's a big dangerous thing. But yet, You know, Mark and Linda, when you listen to her, and I have to put this right out there, right up front, because I've been interviewed dramatically over the last week or so in this column. The fact is that I am a former, lived all my life in New York. So the carpetbagger came into the state of New York, became senator. That's Hillary Clinton. I followed them since Bill was governor. I was one of the few people who wrote how Hillary made her money in commodity trading, which was a very simple way that she did it. And yet, when I look at it and I put myself, I am 100% opposed. That I think she would be the worst person that would come in. She would be bad. But yet, the fact is that to me, all the cards are set up for her. And I don't want people to think, oh, and I've gotten so many emails. Oh, do you wear the Hillary button? I mean, have you sent them a donation? No, but I'm an economist. I have my blog and my website and all the rest of this stuff. And all these things, when I look at the facts, there are two things that are really dominant here. One is money. Remember when the Supreme Court said that super PACs could be in operation, that opened the door for corporations at large, but Wall Street in particular. Money will be dominant. And I will give you a statement that Joseph Goebbels, said that if you repeat the lie long enough, it will become truth. The only way you can repeat the lie in this country is have enough money to put people on the air, to put people, you just said your fundraiser to stay on for another year. You needed money.
Yep.
All right. So if you have... Jeb Bush, as I just read, and I could be wrong, but I just read, and I know he had a gala last night, will have, by the end of this first quarter, $100 million in the bank to run for president.
Wow.
$100 million. Well, where does that come from? Does that come from you, me, writing a check for $5? No. It comes from super PACs, which the Supreme Court has said, you know, if you're not directly involved, if you're not part of the campaign, but now all of a sudden you know how to go around that. So that's the first thing. Money is very, very critical. And secondly, there is an apathy and there is a kind of a total disdain or disregard and for knowing what the facts are and what's going on. I asked a young woman the other night about I asked her what she thought about Benghazi. And she said she uses it on her knees when she's running. She says that's a, well, you know, I've got a knee problem and I put the Benghazi on my knee. I said, no, that's Bengay. That's Bengay. And so when you look at, I was asked the other day about the fatigue factor of the Clintons. The fatigue factor of the Clintons, well, you take Bill back in 92 in the 90s when he was president and we're all tired of that. But my goodness, that was what, 15, 18, 20 years ago. And there may be a more fatigue factor with Mr. Bush than there is with Clinton. So, you know, it's a very interesting situation that we've got going on here. And when you look at all the things, the baggage that she's got, I still think that the numbers play that she will be the next president. Oh, my God, did I say that? Yes, I did.
I'll tell you what, I sure hope you're wrong.
Oh, I do, too.
Yeah.
Well, there's other factors involved in that, too, right, Bill? Like with her being a woman and all of that that's coming into play with this.
Linda, you know, and that's absolutely right. One of the things that she's getting beat up on is, and rightly so, I mean, and Mark, you were just saying about the foundation. And the foundation, which the biggest amount of money, and we could spend hours on this next topic, but the biggest amount of money that's come into the foundation has come from, and this is according to their own records, has come from Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Wow.
Ukraine is the biggest amount. Then it goes Saudi Arabia. Then it drops down, and it's all Middle Eastern money. Okay? And so when you look at that, and one of the things Rand Paul was saying in his commentary this last week was she should give the money back, because these are countries that, and not Ukraine, but the Middle Eastern countries, are countries that, you know, with Sharia law and the force and the power on top of women and the way they handle women, and she's supposedly a proponent of women's rights and all the rest of that stuff. Her response is very interesting. And if you look the way she's handled this stuff in the last 2 weeks, it's the old Clinton thing. Remember when Bill used, he learned from Nixon. He didn't deny. He would simply say, yes, I take full responsibility. Nothing to see here. Let's move on. What she said about the money coming from the Middle East was she saying, look at the work our foundation does. You want to focus on these other things? Oh, we got money. Look at the work our foundation does around the world. And then come and argue with me. I don't know what her foundation does around the world, but, you know, if I'm a young woman, I'm sitting there and she's saying, well, the foundation does this and that for women around the world, who am I to argue? And so she's dismissed that. When she's talking about Benghazi, I found this, I did some research and I was listening to one of the Senate hearings that she had. And one of the senators was really putting pressure on her about saying, couldn't you have discovered, like, the day after or 2 days after you got your people out of there with a phone call, what actually happened? Was it an attack by, you know, by, was it a disruption, a
video?
A group of people?
Yeah.
Yeah, from the video, you know, this type of thing. Or was it a planned attack? And she said, well, we learned later a planned attack. She says, yeah, but Susan Rice went on Sunday morning programs and said, well, it was a response to the video. Couldn't you have kind of gotten it? And her response to that, once again, succinctly was, what difference does it make?
Right. What does it matter?
You've got people who are dead. That's what we're focusing on. What difference does it make? Let's move on. And so it's interesting that that approach has been, let's move on. When we talked about her emails, I've said all along that she will ultimately can things over. It may be a while. It may be after we've all beaten up on her, and then she can kind of play the poor Hillary card, which many of her supporters are starting to do right now.
Well, there's a
I heard this one the other day, Mark and Linda. She was a little bit confused because her mother had died, and Chelsea was having the wedding.
Hmm.
And a neighbor of mine said to me, who was an older woman, she said, and she used that, the woman, she says, well, why is everybody beating up on Hillary? She, you know, this is a woman, 72 years old, has no clue about emails. And she said, you know, I never liked Hillary, but they're beating up on her. I just might vote for her because, you know, they're beating up on her so much.
That just doesn't make any sense at all. A couple of things here, and then we got to go to a break here real quick. One thing that struck me is what you said about the Ukraine. I didn't even know they had any money, number one. And then, you know, did you know that we're backing their bonds? With that, we
got yeah, well, we can talk about that when we come back. I'll tell you how they're backing your bonds, because that's not the first time. We did it in Egypt, so that's really a good investment.
Okay, if you want to call in with a comment or question, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
The network wants to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Nigel Harris Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol for all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels, and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and comm vaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction. We cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Redding. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
America's original extreme sport. The Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 17th, 18th, and 19th. 3 days of the best rodeo action on dirt. Get your discount tickets now at the Roundup office, redbluffroundup.com, by phone or Diamond W. Westernware in Chico.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Whatever you're cooking smells good, Ma. Where's Dad?
I don't know. I think he's in the garage. Hey, tell him it's time for dinner.
Left step. Left step. Left step.
Nice heels, Dad. What are you doing?
I'm practicing for the walk a mile in her shoes.
What is that?
Every 90 seconds in this country, a woman is sexually assaulted. It's time for men like us to say no more. The walk a mile in her shoes is a call to men to educate and engage our community about a very serious subject to take action in preventing sexualized violence.
What can I do to help?
Every man should join us on Saturday, May 9th at 10 a.m. for the walk a mile in her shoes to benefit One Safe Place. Do like I did, son. Get a bunch of your friends together and visit the One Safe Place website at ospshasta.org and register for the walk. And here, I happen to have another pair of heels.
Left step, right step.
You guys make me so proud.
Please join the Walk a Mile chairman, Joe Comenti, and his family for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event, Saturday, May 9th in downtown Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
State. We're giving you the news that nobody else wants to talk about, it seems like, especially up here in the North State. Our local Ratchet Fleshlight, pardon me, I have a frog in my throat, but they don't print anything. Our local news station.
Well, they do print, but it's nothing worth reading.
Yeah, it's all about all these important things. I mean, like conspiracies in the White House. I don't know. You know, the old saying goes, when treason prospers, none dare call it so. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about. And, you know, let's get back to the Ukraine. I mean, and the bonds. I mean, why would we back Ukrainian bonds right now?
Well, can I digress for 1 second?
Sure.
Okay. I wanted to let your listeners know, and this is that I have a website, it's called BillTatro.com, and for the last 6 months I've had a paid newsletter, which is called Macro Profit, for a long time. But what we did is, as retiring from the radio after almost 40 years, we rolled everything in under the Macro Profit, and it's been very, very successful. It's audio, it's video, it's 4 or 5 times a week that comes to people. And knowing that I was going to be on Sovereign Minds today, I decided to leave up an offer for the Sovereign Minds folks. It's free. You get 7 days to just explore it and see if you like it. Costs nothing. The actual cost is $15 a month, but for 7 days you get to enjoy the whole thing. And you get the audio, the video, and all like that. So I'd like to offer that out to the Sovereign Minds folks. Just go to BillTatro.com. It's free. You can hit the free button, and for 7 days you can listen to it and read it, and you can argue with me and holler at me and all the different things all right. that you want
nice.
To do.
Nice. Thank
That's
you.
Right there. But it's a free offer to everyone out there. Just go to BillTatro.com, and for the next week, next 7 days, they have an opportunity to see what I'm all about and kind of support and go in conjunction with the Sovereign Minds program.
Very
so
good.
I offer that out to everybody.
Very good. Thanks, Bill. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I appreciate
that's
it.
That's nice.
So let's see. Let's get back to where we were
Ukraine.
On
the
Ukraine and money yeah. and bonds.
Well, the whole thing is fascinating. Look at how the circle's going to play. You've got the Ukraine that needs money, and their bonds are rated like triple C. And they cannot find anybody. Why would you? I mean, the whole Ukrainian situation is a farce. When we are in Yemen right now, because we're going to, I love this, because you got to put Yemen into this thing. In Yemen, we are supporting the so-called deposed president. Okay, it's the Houthi, not the Houthi. Sorry, Senator McCain, it's not the Houthi, it's the Houthi. The Houthi is basically taking control of this country, of Yemen. And the Houthi were battling, 2 years ago, were battling Al-Qaeda. Now, all of a sudden, they were in conjunction trying to get rid of the president of Yemen, which they basically ultimately did. But then we're in support of the folks called Al-Qaeda because we don't want the Houthi in. We want to keep the president in there. Now go over to Ukraine. The president, duly elected in Ukraine by the Ukrainian people, did not want to bring the Ukraine into the European Union. He wanted a more relationship with Russia. And so what was it, our position? And you look at the assistant secretary of state who was caught on an email and caught on a phone call, hacked on a phone call, saying an expletive deletive about the European Union. This is what we're going to do in Ukraine. They got rid of that president. There was a coup. They put their own guy in who happened to be very close with Obama. He's a multimillionaire in sugar, I think it is. And then they had an election, which was a joke because it would be like having an election in the United States and only the folks in California could vote. So only the folks in Western Ukraine voted. It was still going on, still going on. You need to support, Ukraine needs money to legitimize the ability to buy hardware. We can't just give them hardware. And so we have to say we're not giving them bonds. We're going to guarantee their bonds. And the fascination is you roll the IMF into this thing, you roll Greece into this thing. But the whole bottom line is we now have gotten away from even buying the bonds because Congress under the – and I know this is all kind of convoluted, but underneath the veil of, in a sense, secrecy, the House passed a bill this last week, I mean, overwhelmingly – to send offensive weapons to the Ukraine.
Yep.
So there's no real need anymore for these bonds. I mean, it just there's no. We're just going to send the weapons.
So we're going to start. We're going to start World War III here, is what it sounds like.
I think that you know the problem is that when you look historically, major conflagrations have started when a mistake has been made.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at World War I, everything was being set up, and then all of a sudden when the prince there, the Archduke Ferdinand, gets assassinated. That was like the spark that pushed it all off. I don't know what the spark is that does this, but I do know that there's an alliance between Russia and China and Iran, and I know that the allies that we're supposed to have are now starting to move away from the dollar. They're going into this new Chinese bank that's
yep.
being set up.
Yep.
And so all the sparks, you know, all it takes is some spark. And I've asked the question, I don't know if our listeners know this, but there has been, in the last 3 years, there has been a massive, almost rush to build bomb shelters in and around Moscow.
Wow.
And our Defense Department has been querying Moscow, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, so, what's kind of interesting, too, about that whole thing, you know, with the BRICS and the bank and all this, you know, it's been historically documented that a lot of times these wars are started because when the economy tanks, you know, they got to blame somebody. And that seems to be what I think is going to happen. I think that they know the economy's in bad shape. I think it's going to tank. We're already starting to see the stock market to fall apart. And, you know, I mean, we've got a bond bubble. I mean, is maybe that's the catalyst for these guys to start something. So we have to look the other way.
Well, I think you're right. I think, and when you look at this whole thing, however, it's kind of like, and coming back to our politics, the money right now is Wall Street. I heard the and read the commentary made by Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, and he said, "I really want a Democrat as president." He said, "because they would then continue to perpetuate the policies of the Federal Reserve."
Sure.
But I can live with both Hillary. I can live with both Clinton and Bush. When the head guy, the main player on Wall Street, and the main entity, and I would say that the Goldman Sachs has usurped J.P. Morgan, but they're kind of running neck and neck.
Right.
But when you have that individual who now has declared, "I can live with either Hillary or Jeb Bush," he's told you who the next two candidates are going to be.
Sure.
He's told you. Because he has the money to, and where does he get it from? He gets it from the Federal Reserve. It just goes and borrows it from the Federal Reserve. And with the Supreme Court's ruling on super PACs, you know, we're sitting at that mercy. And irrespective, and I've said this on your program several times, irrespective of who is in office, the policies are going to be exactly the same.
I agree.
Because they're mired in Keynesianism, and Keynesianism basically says this: there is no belief. The basic foundation says the belief of business is that they can't operate, and the system can't operate without the aid of government. Government has to be in there to take care of it, which then tells you we don't have a capitalistic system. We have a crony capitalism, which says, gee, it's 2008, Goldman Sachs should go under, GM should go under, and new entities should come forth. Had we done what we should have done in 2008, we would be on the solid way to recovery, but all we did is perpetuate this ultimate bubble that will ultimately collapse. And then, and as you just said, Mark, when that has happened, then military adventures seem to take over and to get people's mind away. You know, you look in the 30s, and there was a major mistake. In the last month, for the umpteenth time, I finished Houck's book on Winds of War, thousand-page tome, right? But and studying, and I said Torah, and all the rest of that stuff. Japan's biggest mistake was bombing Pearl Harbor, because the United States at that point in time was so they were anti getting involved in anything. But the moment they bombed Pearl Harbor, we united as one. We came together. Look at the response to the movie American Sniper. Whether you argue with it, for, pro, whatever it is, $350 million in the first month and a half? And I say that is because all of a sudden you've said, ask any person out there, have you seen American Sniper? No, but I'm going to. Boy, he's an American hero. No, whether you agree, you disagree, I don't care. But the point is that unified, that brings people. And if all of a sudden we get an attack, we get something happens, the unification, and all of a sudden the military industrial complex, which is basically supporting this economy, gets revved up to another level.
Interesting. What was the name of that group in Yemen that you were talking about? Was that Houdai and the Blowhard with McCain? Is that I was
the Houthi. I wrote a big long piece on this, and it's up on Macro Profit. It's on there. The Houthi were formed back in the 90s, and they were formed in the 90s because the president at that time was really Yemen is it was formed for malnutrition of children. They have one of the worst feeding or the most malnutrition for children in the world. And the Houthi, all of a sudden, and then when we invaded Iraq, they kind of went crazy on that. The young people went crazy on that. And so that brought them into total opposition with the president, because he was basically an ally, we'll call him a lackey or whatever, whatever the word you want to use, with the United States, who brought him in opposition. The United States pressured the president to sit down with the leader. Hutai was a family. It was a family named Hutai. And the leader of the family to sit down, they had 25, 30,000 kids attending their camps, eating in their food kitchens. Hmm. And they brought the president, and they wanted to sit down with the leader of the Hutai. The leader of the Hutai, the family, said, no, I don't want to do that. That's going to give a wrong sign. 2 days later, the guy was assassinated.
Wow.
The Hutai guy was assassinated. And that's when it all began.
Wow.
And that was it. And so, you know, we talk about the bonds for, come back to that, the bonds for Ukraine. We went and supported and gotten behind of bonds in Egypt. When Egypt's rating fell down to like triple C, we got behind that. And then, of course, in comes, and this is one of Hillary's sponsorships, the what's his name, Mazari, I think it was, the Muslim Brotherhood head of the government in Egypt. Well, how long did that last? Like a month, week, 6 months? Bam, the government came right back in and took over, and those bonds were basically kaput.
Listen, we got to go to a break here, Bill. I want to come back and talk about the upset in the banks are upset with Elizabeth Warren because she's. Let's talk about that a little bit.
If you want to call in with a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
Safari Club International, the leader in protecting the freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. On Saturday, May 2nd, join the Reading chapter for their 21st annual banquet to raise funds so the vital work of protecting our hunting heritage and educating youth can continue. Beginning at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Event Center, join a fun-packed evening with games, auctions, drawings, lots of guns, and your choice of a tri-tip or chicken dinner. Safari Club International of Reading is currently planning hunts regionally and for African game, and you can find out about these and all the activities of SCI and have a great time Saturday, May 2nd. For tickets, visit scireading.org or call 530-524-3252. That number again, 524-3252. The 21st annual fundraising banquet for the Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International. Tickets, 524-3252.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Bott. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Bott. Brought to you by Dandelion Boutique, Craftmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yes, that's Hootie and the Blowfish, as opposed to Hootie and the Blowhard. Yeah, that's just too easy. Yeah, let's talk about, I got thing here on Yahoo News. Exclusive, upset by Warren, U.S. banks debate halting some campaign donations. Evidently, you know, she wants to break up the big banks. I'm not buying it for a second, but, you know, Elizabeth has been a pretty staunch supporter of, or not a staunch supporter of the banks at all. I mean, she's, you know, trying to say that the Federal Reserve needs to be gotten rid of as well as the Wall Street guys. But, well, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, when she was, I mean, you had the bank lobbyists fought her tooth and nail on her bank consumer protection back in the beginning of last year. She talked about that. And when you look at Elizabeth Warren and you just focus on her discussion of the banks, I become a big Elizabeth Warren fan.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
It's just, you know, you just have to sit back and you have to say, wow, you know, that it's I'm an Austrian economist, which means I just as soon have the central bank, the Federal Reserve, get blown up. I don't see any reason for it, and other than that it continues to perpetuate money flowing from it to the banks to be able to support markets, make money, buy the folks in Washington. That's what it's all about. So when you first look at Elizabeth Warren, you say, well, you know, this is somebody maybe I could get behind. Then all of a sudden you say, let's see, one of her positions she took back in 2012, and people say, well, how do you know this stuff? Because they said, I make it a point to know this stuff before I come on these shows. But she said, you know that churches should provide birth control. That was her position. I mean, she's a very, very staunch supporter of abortion. All right, let's put that out on the table. Then you start to talk about civil rights, or you talk about, and of course we bring in civil rights, you talk about borders. She talks about, and I'm in Arizona, she talks about the Dream Act, right? So she talks about opening things up. I climbed off from a tough, we were in a low class, and we climbed up from there, and I climbed up from there, and people have to have that right and opportunity, and so let's just open up those borders, et cetera, et cetera. When you start to dig in, Elizabeth Warren is a very staunch liberal Democrat, bleeds it, and yet you're conflicted because her first commentary is about the banks.
So it's a smokescreen.
And that's
so,
why so they will not give her the money.
So what you're telling me, though, is it's kind of a smokescreen for her liberal policies because, you know, maybe it's a way to invite some of the people over from the dark side.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Mark. It is. I believe it is a smokescreen. I think she believes it. I think she does. I don't think it's when she looks at these things. And yet, you know, what's fascinating, I think that Elizabeth Warren, if all of a sudden push came to shove, she would take that $50 million check from Lloyd Blankfein to run for president. I think she would do that. I don't think she'd step back and say, you know, I'm opposed to your principles, policies, et cetera, and you're a Democrat. That's why when Blankfein said, I really want a Democrat in there, but I'm okay with Bush just as well as with Hillary.
Yeah, well, because, you know, Bush is a Democrat light, you know.
Here's what's scary. Here's what's really scary. And I can't, you know, and you never say things because a host is always going to maybe say, well, tell me the names of the people he's mentioned. I can't give you the names. But I do know, I've read this in several instances, that he is reaching out for his circle of advisors to the same international or military advisors that his brother used. That's a little scary to me. And when I look at, and this is what I have a lot of people say, so what's the solution to all this, Bill? I say, until the Keynesian philosophy changes, until it crashes and burns, we're going to continue to have the same philosophy at the top. Before the last election, I was querying different individuals in Arizona, and I would go to different evenings, and there would be a Democrat, Republican, they'd be arguing, a liberal, conservative, etc. And I would raise my hand, and they would acknowledge me because they knew I was coming, and it was not off the record, it was on the record. And I would say, would either of you, I'd ask him three questions. Would either of you vote to get rid of the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, exactly.
They all said, no, no. What would we replace it with? Well, I mean, this country didn't always have a central bank. As a matter of fact, Andrew Jackson got rid of the second one and said the only time when the bankers win, they win. When the bankers lose, we lose. Okay, we lose. And that's why he got rid of it. Second question I asked was, would you go back to the gold standard? And they, whether it was a male, female, whether it was Republican, Democrat, they all look and said, no, well, we don't have enough gold to do that. And I said, are you familiar with some of the great economists back in the 1800s, which I'm sure you're not, but David Ricardo once said, you don't need any gold at all to be in a gold standard. You can simply peg it to gold.
Right.
And the third question I said was, would you reduce the size of military? Would you bring most of our troops home, specifically in the Middle East? And they all would respond the same way because they're all conditioned.
Yep.
Are you crazy? We're a terrorism. We're in a war on terror. I said, yeah, but who are we lining up against? Well, it's a war on terror. I mean, like a war on drugs, et cetera. Irrespective, no matter how you believe, one way or the other, they all had the same answers. They all said the same thing, which means that if they're all saying the same thing when they come into office, which we saw in November, when they came into office, I saw a picture of the freshman class, the freshman congressional class in New York being wined and dined by J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. Big smiles, gifts of the evening, and I'm going, here we go again. It's the same old, same old.
Same old, same old. You know, I got to add to the Jackson thing. I think he also said that a central bank was a hydra-headed serpent with engines of destruction on the sovereignty of the American people. I don't think he was upset when he said it, but, you know, I mean.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's just crazy stuff. I mean, but you know, the media has really done a good job of they work very hard to eliminate our freedoms and by not reporting this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm looking at a press release right here. And this comes from Martin Armstrong. It says, you know, while the press is fully in bed with the government and are advocating eliminating cash because someone broke into an ATM. Using this logic, we should all walk around naked as well. And then we do not need the TSA to search us, for obviously we could not hide a weapon. I mean, but that's what they've been doing. They don't report the stuff like you're saying. You ask these hard questions. You show that these guys are on the big issues, the same philosophy, the same mantra. They argue about the social issues and all this other stuff that it does matter, but it's not the big issues that are perpetuating the problem, and it never gets reported.
No, it doesn't. And one of the things that's important, it's important about your program, it's important about My Macro Profit, it's important about people who speak out about this kind of stuff, is that people learn, they listen, they learn, they become educated. But as my wife is always saying to me, okay, so then what do you do next? What is it you do next? And I said, all right, well, let me give you one of the things that every one of your listeners should be doing. They may not be aware of this. There's a thing called bail-ins. Bail-in was yep. first put forward in Cyprus, which means that, and oh, by the way, Janet Yellen is greatly in favor of it. Mark Carney, now who is in Canada, now the head of the Bank of England, is in favor of it, which says that they can suspend you taking money out of your account. And, oh, by the way, you need to be, since you're a depositor in the bank, you need to be subject to the same risk that people who own stocks and bonds in the bank. As a depositor, that was in Cyprus.
Yep.
Now, here we are in the United States. People say, oh, they can't do that in the United States. The SPARS Act, which is where we all know if you go to the bank and you're depositing or dealing with $10,000 or more, then they are asking questions. The banks are asking questions. Just in the last couple of weeks, that was reduced down to $5,000.
Yep.
And I would be suggesting to all listeners out there that you go to your bank and you very slowly, gradually start taking money out of the bank and putting it into your house. And, oh, by the way, for your older listeners, remember where you put it.
Okay? That would be a good thing.
That's a good thing. Remember where you put it. But there was a very interesting discussion, and this came from the somebody who was a representative of the Department of Justice saying, well, what if I went in there and I said, I want $5,000? They said, well, they have the right, the bank now has the right to not give you that $5,000 unless you disclose exactly what the purposes are. And more than likely, if it's considerably more than that, there will be somebody visiting you at your house to discuss. These are called capital controls,
yep.
and they're gradually coming into the United States. We're seeing them, whether it's in the Middle East, whether it's in South America, Latin America. I mean, nobody's focusing. The press doesn't tell the American people what's going on in Brazil and in Venezuela and Argentina. These things are imploding. These places are imploding. I mean, you're talking about, you know, all sorts of things happening out there. And they go, well, and this is where I come back to an hour ago. I originally said the apathy and the lack of knowledge that the American public has, it's easily to control them with money and easily through the media. In one of the pieces I just recently did, I wanted at the end of the piece to put a YouTube little 4 or 5 minute clip on the dumbing down of America. And unfortunately, for every one smart listener or listener to Sovereign Minds, there's five people out there who believe this. And this is what I saw on this YouTube clip. This young people, college people, middle class people. Well, let's see. What country did we break away from? And, oh, by the way, when Jesse Ventura signed the Declaration of Independence in 1982, along with Jack Lemmon, what was the country we broke away from?
I think
everybody's going, let's see, China. Yeah, China. Mexico. And it was amazing that then they were asked the question, do you know who Kim Kardashian is? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, and I go back in the 90s, I'll never forget the day after Bill Clinton was elected. I'm sitting in a restaurant having lunch with a couple of friends, and they were just shaking their head when Clinton was less than 92. And I said, well, let's test this water, because you guys are thinking, thoughtful, you analyze the issues. Waiter comes over to the table. He's about 22. I said, did you vote? He goes, oh, yeah. Another gal comes over. Did you vote? We had about 4 or 5 people come to the table. Did you vote? Yeah. Who'd you vote for? They all voted for Clinton. Why? Why? Policies, principles, and they all invariably said the same thing. No, man, we saw him last week on one of the programs, and he was playing his sax, and he had his sunglasses. Man, he was cool. That's the kind of guy I want for president.
Wow, that's really
well,
scary.
Well, I think you're historically incorrect. It was Hulk Hogan, not
I think they linked hands and they raised their hands up in the air and they said, yeah.
Yeah.
And they pounded on that Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, they go, oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that
but
was...
But here's one other thing, and this is what I think is fascinating. There the guy says to the people, he interviewed like six people in a row, are you a college graduate? Yes, no, I went to junior college. Six people in a row, college graduates. Okay. When the Declaration of Independence was signed, July 4, 1776.
We got to hurry, Bill. We got one minute for the top of the hour. They're going to cut us off.
Okay, real fast. What was the date that the Declaration of Independence was signed? And he had just told them. He had just told them. And all five of them didn't know.
Who was buried in Grant's tomb? I mean,
that was exactly. It. Let me give that offer again. BillTatro.com. Next 7 days. Sovereign Minds, get it for free.
Very good.
Right.
That's Bill Tatro.
It was great having you again. Yeah, we'll have to have you back.
That's BillTatro.com.
Time flies, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right,
thanks.
Well, hope to see you back.
What year was the War of 1812 fought? All right, thanks again to Bill Tatro. Hour two of Sovereign Minds comes your way next here at KCNR Shasta Reading.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Negotiators say they're getting close to a nuclear deal between the U.S. and Iran just days before the deadline. But Senator Richard Burr, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, says you can't trust the Iranians.
We see Iran playing in about nine countries financially or physically. I think now's the time to push back from the table and ask ourselves, is it really time to trust the people that we're negotiating with, the Iranians?
He spoke to CBS TV's Face the Nation program. Today, Saudi Arabia vowed to continue bombing Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen unless they lay down their arms. Indiana Governor Mike Pence is defending a new state law, but he's refusing to directly address whether it would make it illegal for a business to refuse service to homosexuals. Pence tells ABC TV's This Week the law is only designed to prevent the government from infringing on religious freedom. Christians around the world are celebrating Palm Sunday. Services this morning at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Palm Sunday marks the start of Holy Week, which will conclude with Easter. Passover begins on Friday night. Tunisia's prime minister says a leading suspect in this month's deadly museum attack on foreign tourists has been killed in anti-terrorist operations. Khaled Chaouais was killed overnight in an operation in the Gafsa region near the Algerian border. Stormy conditions apparently contributed to a mishap at Halifax Airport that sent 25 Air Canada passengers to hospitals over the weekend. Officials say the injuries were minor. Most of those people are out of the hospital. An unseasonable Montana wildfire has grown to 700 acres, but officials have today lifted an evacuation order for a nearby ski lodge. The blaze is a few miles west of the community of Red Lodge, and winds have been a problem. This is SRN News.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-961-6303. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-961-6303. 800-961-6303. That's 800-961-6303.
Singaporeans bid farewell to longtime leader Lee Kuan Yew today with an elaborate procession and a three-hour state funeral at which his son, the current prime minister, eulogized the statesman and declared that the wealthy city-state he helped build is his monument. Undeterred by heavy rain, tens of thousands of people lined a nine-mile route through the city to catch a glimpse of the flag-draped funeral cortege, Lee's coffin. Draped in the flag of the country, it's protected from the downpour by a glass casing, lay atop a ceremonial gun carriage solemnly led past city landmarks from Parliament to the Cultural Center where the state funeral took place. The Eiffel Tower went dark briefly to mark Earth Hour, a campaign to raise awareness about what some believe to be climate change. The five-minute dark out last night was a symbolic gesture in the City of Lights. Cities around the world also marked the event, with other landmarks including the Kremlin and the Empire State Building going dark. This is SRN News. Moving to Florida, if you are, the Census Bureau says, you're not alone.
The Sunshine State is climbing the ranks of most populous states and fastest-growing cities. The Villages, Florida, ranked as the country's fastest-growing metro area last year. The city west of Orlando boasting a 5.4% increase in population between July 1, 2013 and July 1 of last year. And it's not just the Villages. The Census Bureau says metro areas across central and southern Florida are also booming.
SRN's Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, March 29th, the 88th day of 2015. There are 277 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1638, Swedish colonists settled in present-day Delaware. On this date in 1973, the last U.S. combat forces left South Vietnam, ending America's direct military involvement in the Vietnam War. More details at srnnews.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds, and we're here for the second hour, and, you know, I just, we're gonna set up a clip here, from Jimmy Kimmel here. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, it makes me think here, are you a dummy? Are you a blowhard? Are you a liar? Everybody says, oh, you call everybody names, but we don't call specific people names or specific groups or specific political affiliations. We call everybody names because, you know, we're going to rename this the no PC zone. Because, you know, it's about time the gloves come off. Everybody's all worried about, oh, being offended and this and that. But you know something? If you don't know, that we fought a war to retain, our independence from the British and you think it's China, you are a dummy. You know, if you are running for political office, you probably are a blowhard,
yep.
Okay, or a liar. And if,
or both.
Or both. Or you just graduated from a university. So with that said, you know, we're going to actually call people what they are. We're not going to just call names. We're going to have proof. We're going to make sure. But, you know, let's listen to this clip with Jimmy Kimmel when they ask who Joe Biden is. And if you don't think these guys are dummies – okay, at the very least, they are so uneducated, you know, that it's unbelievable, you know, and, you know, the term dumbed down kind of indicates that they're dummies. Go ahead, Bob.
In fact, I was wondering today how many people even know who Joe Biden is. So as an experiment, we sent a camera crew out on Hollywood Boulevard. I think you know where this is headed. And once they got there, we had them ask, we specifically picked Americans. We asked Americans a very simple question, and that question was, who is Joe Biden? Okay? And here's how that went.
Who is Joe Biden?
I have no idea.
Do you want to take a guess?
A man.
Who is Joe Biden?
Joe Biden. Wasn't he our governor? I think he's the governor or something.
Joe Biden, I don't know, terrorist group.
Who is Joe Biden?
No comment.
Who is Joe Biden?
The congressman?
Congressman of where?
I don't know.
Take a guess.
Washington, D.C.
Who is Joe Biden?
Who is Joe Biden? I have no idea.
Do you know who our vice president is?
No, I don't.
You want to take a guess?
Condoleezza Rice?
That's it.
Is it? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
First female black vice president.
Joe Biden is a senator.
How do you know that he's a senator?
From references and from news and casually reading newspapers or coming across things on the internet, to be completely honest.
Joe Biden. Is he a movie star?
I don't know. The guy, Joe Biden, he is a Republican and he's going to be president soon, I'm assuming.
Do you think he's someone who would be a friend of Obama's?
No, he looks like he probably would oppose things Obama's going in with. I'm basically going off skin color right now, to be honest. I have heard him bashing him and saying that he doesn't. He's not supporting the Democratic Party or whatever like that, so.
Who is Joe Biden?
Joe Biden? I don't know who that is.
If I show you a picture, does that help at all? Who is this man?
Oh, Joe. I've seen him in movies.
What movies? That's enough, Bob.
In some movies. But I don't know.
What movies?
You know, that's kind of funny, but it's really scary at the same time. You know?
Like, wow, man, I don't know who Joe Biden is, dude, because I don't know, but he looks like he's white. So I think he's a racist.
Couldn't possibly support Obama.
Exactly, yeah. Wow, that's a little scary.
Boy, yeah, we've got Lori in the chat room. Have we ever watched Waters World? Yeah, it's pretty much as bad. I mean, and they've done this kind of a thing over and over and over again, and it's not really funny because how dumb are these guys? And it's not like they're walking through the crowd looking for the dumbest guy in the crowd. This is the crowd, typically.
Yeah.
You know, they're out in front of a mall.
And then you have to really wonder, like that one girl, well, he's the senator.
Well,
I read it and it was on the newspaper and on the internet and everything. It's like, wow,
I should add racist to dummy, blowhard, and liar because the black guy, was
he
as racist.
It.
Yeah, you're
he
white.
Admitted it.
You know, you're probably a racist. I mean, but black people can't be racist, right? Because they're black. And then the other guy, he's got a bandana on his head and an LA Dodger hat with pot leaves all over it, you know, and it's like, he's like, yeah, Joe Biden, wow, man, you know.
He's my friend.
You know, I think he plays for the Cubs, you know. And so, it's like, really? That's the level of education? And a lot of, you know, it's scary because these guys are coming out of our universities as well. But I bet you if you held up a sign of Che Guevara or Mao Zedong or Karl Marx, they'd probably know who that was because that's what they're being taught in the school is that they're the great guys. I guess they just kind of glossed over that killing, you know, several million people deal. But, you know, who cares?
Yeah, that's, that never made it in the equation, so it's all good.
No problem.
Yeah.
And so like I said before, you know, we're going to start calling people what they are, you know. I mean, if you're a dummy – maybe you need to hear that you're a dummy. Maybe instead of being praised as, oh gee, he's got some talents in some other areas. Why don't we call it what it is? Which is, and why is this important? Because you guys don't even know what's happening to you out there. You don't even know who's taking over your country. You don't even know you're losing your freedom because you're too worried about smoking a spliff or a fatty or just so dumbed down that you can't even.
Did you see that new clip that James O'Keefe did in the university?
No, I haven't seen that one. Yeah. I was trying to pull it up today, the one on Cornell University.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't get to it.
Yeah, it's okay, you know, to bring in ISIS and everything because that's just like a training camp, like, you know, with football and baseball and stuff. There's no difference. We can't discriminate against anybody, you know. So, yeah, bring them in.
You know, if like the ISIS guys come over here, we're going to invite them over to a barbecue, you know, and we're going to have a barbecue. And we'll put a couple shrimp there, you know. And
if you want to, you can actually apply for a grant to help with the training.
You know, I guess the
it's
fact
like,
that,
wow.
You know, they show up to the ball field and they start cutting the team players' heads off, I guess, you know, and playing baseball with them. I guess, well, that might put a little wrinkle in the seventh inning, you know, but, you know, that, what? You know, so anyway.
And you hear about this?
I think I was ranting again.
Yeah, and you hear about this where? You know? Yeah, that's on the TV and the internet, you know.
Yeah, but we don't know about, you know, other things that are important, like, oh, I don't know, doing tests on kibbs, on kids. On kibbles? Kibbles and bits? No.
I was going to say. Doing bacon.
Testing diesel particulates on kids. You know, shoving hoses up their noses and running 60 times the particulates down their nose. I guess that just wasn't an important enough story, you know, for Channel 7 or for the Fleshlight, excuse me, the Record Fleshlight. I guess that just wasn't important because that shouldn't, you know, that's not.
Yeah, what's scary about that is, you know, we uncovered that, or it got uncovered. What else is going to get uncovered that's along that lines that we don't have a clue about?
Well, that's it.
That's a scary thing.
So from now on, we're the no PC zone. We're not politically correct here. We're truthful. We want the truth out there. And you know something? If it slaps you in the face, I'm sorry. You know, get over it. You know, if you don't like it, you know, then change the channel and go back to your elevator music and listen to The Girl from Epony, while you're fanning yourself in the Rose Garden. You know something? Because we're in real trouble here. And if you don't wake up and start and get involved, you know, whether it's the state of Jefferson, whether it's the Tea Party. Oh, yeah, the Tea Party. They're a bunch of racists. Really? I mean, come on. You know, you guys still buying all this crap that's coming out of the media? Oh, well, I guess they just marginalized that so that nobody would join. Or you're more worried about what your neighbor thinks or your friend down the street, you know, than your freedom. You don't care about liberty. You care about, oh, wow, my neighbor, he might look down on me if I was a joint member of the Tea Party. Or, oh, if I stood up for individual rights.
I wonder if he's going to care about you when they're putting you on the train and to nowhere.
These guys are going to be the first ones.
You know what I mean?
These guys are the first crybabies in line going, what happened? Why didn't anybody tell us? Yeah, we told you. You just didn't listen because you were too busy playing baseball and smoking your spliff. So there you have it. Okay.
Well, in the chat room, Scott says, well, what can we do to teach them? Well, we have to get back involved in our community and our schools.
Well, we're teaching them now. I mean,
yeah,
and that's
and
what
be part of a solution.
What it is you can't be politically correct. You got to say it the way it is, and whether they want to hear it or not, the truth is starting to come out because people aren't so dumb that if you keep telling them that unemployment is we're at full employment right now and everything's good and we're in recovery, yeah, you know.
Well, yeah, pretty soon they're going to be the one that's in the unemployment line or unemployed or something. Maybe.
If they're not already, but when the money starts cutting off, they're going to be listening. And it's like, oh, yeah, dude, you know, I don't know what happened. You know, I used to get this check every day, you know, or every week or every month or something with some, you know, the food stamp thing. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm starving. And I what happened? Anyway, we got.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good rant, you guys.
Sorry.
That's a good one. And you're right.
Well, you know, the gloves are coming off. I'm tired of the dummy blowhard liars, you know. I mean, and I don't care if we're calling them names because they are what they are.
Well, they are what they are. You're right. And the other thing that's really that really kind of boggles me is then you get the person I know that we've been doing down at the home show all weekend. We've been down there and talking with folks, and it's been really great as far as for Jefferson. That home show is fantastic.
Good.
I really recommend people go. But you'll ask. You know, I have a guy who's coming in who's an expert on the Constitution. He's telling me what's going on as far as how we're doing, what we're doing, it won't work. And I said, well, how many senators do we have in the United States Congress and the United States Senate per state? And he looked at me, he goes, I don't know.
He's an expert. Yeah.
He's an expert. But anyway, it was, you know, when everything you guys are saying is very true, and I think there's more of this that has to come out, and that's why your program is, you know, people love it because you guys don't really hold back. I mean, you're not, you know, you're not really rude, but you're, you know, frustrated,
honest,
and who wouldn't be? I mean, we have to stop this just madness. I mean, California is out of control. And we had KVOI 10:30 a.m. do an interview yesterday at the town hall we did in Williams at Grand Zella's, and we were able to broadcast that through the speakers in the event. And Mark, you know, was talking with folks in Arizona who are going through the same thing we're going through. At this point, I would say we probably have talked to somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 affiliates all across the United States, and for the most part, even when they try to play devil's advocate, they understand that what we're doing in Jefferson basically is the tip of the spear for getting representation back for the whole United States.
I agree with that, Terry. I mean, it's bigger than the state of Jefferson. It's bigger than splitting the state. It's bigger than that. It's getting back to the constitutional model where we actually had representations that are representatives that represented the people, not their own self-interest. And, you know, and I'm so tired of people getting upset when we hold our representatives accountable. Like, for example, Doug LaMalfa. You know, when he votes wrong, I'm going to be all over it. You know, but we're supposed to soft sell that. We're supposed to be nice to LaMalfa because he's our boy, except that, you know, if we don't tell him when he's doing the wrong thing against his constituents' wishes, how's he ever going to be representing the people and not his own self-interest?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And, you know, even when you try to have dialogue, in a lot of cases, you're either snubbed or they're worried about it. And then when you do try to put your foot down, and I'm not saying in a rude or argumentative way, but put your foot down and say, hey, look, you know, this is the deal. You know, what do you think? You either don't get an answer, you don't get a response, or, you know, you're suspiciously absent from any conservative event. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that some of these politicians, and I'm not particularly pointing my finger at Doug LaMalfa, but there's a lot of them that do that. I know two Fridays ago, might have been 3 weeks now, that Doug was on Carl Bott's show. And Carl was saying, well, you know, you're letting these guys get away with stuff. You're letting Harry Reid do this and do that. They're doing stuff in the Senate, and the president is doing things that are unlawful. And Doug's reply was, well, you know, we're going to follow the law, and we're going to do what it is that we need to do to make sure we're not breaking the law, and we're going to take the high road. Well, I get that, except if you're playing poker with a guy, and the guy has five aces, and you know there's only four in the deck, and you're holding them, and then you let him take the pot, he's cheating with no consequences. And that's really what our Congress is doing, is they're letting the other side cheat with no consequences.
Well, and they won't defund them. They won't do this. They're all afraid of their own political careers going down the tube. You know, you say something about LaMalfa voting for the communist bill, and all of a sudden you're some kind of a, you know, turncoat, and, well, he's the only one we got. Well, okay, well, that's great. So let's just not hold him accountable for anything. And that's what they're not doing. I mean, if you got a guy cheating at the poker table, you throw him out of the game. You impeach him. You do whatever to get rid of him because he's not following the rules anymore. Oh, no, we'll just let him sit here and cheat because, oh, it might be bad for our political careers. I mean, that's what's going on.
Well, you know, to a degree, some of that stuff's starting to backfire on a lot of folks in Congress. And, you know, and again, I'm not singling anyone out in particular, but, you know, sooner or later, you've got to become aware of the fact that, you know, these people elected you to do certain things. And you ran on those issues. I mean, you know, in a microcosm, you look at how bad city council's been, everything from the pilot program where they've taken $6 million a year from the Reading taxpayer and, you know, to the, you know, and now they're probably going to owe the Reading taxpayer $32 million. Another question I've got about the city is, and maybe I'm just not very smart or bright about what's going on, but we have a brand new police station that looks like a compound, by the way, and we have brand new police cars. But we can't hire officers. I want somebody to call in and help me out with that because I don't understand how that can be. How can we approve a building worth millions of dollars and cars that probably, I would say, about hundreds of thousands of dollars in new cars? How do we afford that, but we can't get police officers? Maybe someone can answer that for me.
Because they went to Cornell? I don't know. I mean, you know, the problem is their priorities are whacked out. They say one thing and do another. Brent Weaver's a great example. Oh yeah, I've got this great plan. We're going to stand up in the community and we're going to fix this crime problem and everything's fine. The first, time out, you know, oh, well, we'll put public comment. I'll vote that to the back and I don't have a plan. Oh, what?
Well, I think a perfect term for this is trickle-down tyranny. because it seems what's happening in Washington is trickling down to the local governments. I was reading a Chico newspaper yesterday when I was in, actually we stopped in Willows to have breakfast, and I was reading a Chico newspaper. The thing about that that town is now they're talking about a jail. You know, they need to have a jail just like everyone else does. Now, here in Shasta County, we're going to build a new courthouse. Well, okay, when we convict these guys, where do we put them? Again, and also California won't have the money for that courthouse, and I would like to hear any supervisor get on the air and say, oh, yes, they do, for sure they have it, it's earmarked, because they don't have it. So I don't know whether this is just another bloviation of non-facts, because they're going to have to pick up that money somewhere, and do we have to match the funds that we're getting for that courthouse?
Well, that's those are all good questions. Yeah. You know?
I mean, you know, and people have to start looking at this themselves. And, Mark, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, and you've always said this, and that's what's been really great about your program and about you as a person, is that, you know, you two say, okay, we have to be personally responsible for how we do stuff. I mean, we should be able to, you know, grow our own food. I mean, there was a good letter to the editor that Ann Meyer wrote this morning, and it was excellent, talking about how in Sacramento folks can go ahead and grow gardens in their backyards. Well now, but however, they had a deal, the Myers did, with the Army of Engineers that made them remove fruit trees because of I'm not sure whether it was an easement deal or what the deal was, but they had to remove fruit trees because they were too close to government land or something.
I think it was because they had Mediterranean neighbors and they had fruit flies.
That's what it was. It was a fruit fly. And that's what it was. It was a fly that I think the population there was like 0.09 tenths of, I don't know, a tenth of a percent or something like that. I think that was it. It was a fly.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, or it was the yellow-winged skipper that was, you know, and so they were trying to reintroduce it into the population in Ann's yard. And so, of course, it didn't work because she planted a tree with fruit in it. And, you know, so they had to bulldoze her house down.
Well, you know, it's crazy and everything. But the thing is that the sad part is that, like Linda was saying a little while ago, when we were listening to what you had on what the Jimmy Kimmel show had on, I mean, the sad thing is that it's funny, but it really isn't funny.
It isn't funny anymore.
I'm seething while I say this, Terry. I say it in jest with tongue in cheek.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, you know, I'm ready to throw something through the window while I say it.
But we need to re-educate a lot of the people. What people need to get back to is the politicians need us. We don't need them. And people have gotten away from that, you know? Whether it's city council, board of supervisors, no matter what it is, you know,
we got to quit going along with the program.
Yeah,
and stop.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's all worried about offending our, you know, oh, I want access. I want to be able to talk to him.
Yeah, that doesn't
tell
mean
our
squat.
Views. They don't care.
No.
You know,
well,
you're a threat to them.
I set a barometer a lot of times by what Sally writes or what she posts. And the reason I do is because, you know, after living with her for 40 years, I know, you know, what a sweet spirit she has. And when she calls somebody on the carpet, you know that old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy?
That's right.
And you know, I know that in a lot of the ways that the congressman has voted, she's gone out there. I've been quiet myself only because I don't really think that at this particular point we're going to do anything as far as what happens in Congress, as far as getting our country back. As much as I think that it's going to be something we're going to have to do locally, we've got to take back one community at a time.
I agree with that.
And understanding that the lion's share, the lion's share of the power needs to go to the counties. And one last thing, very quickly, which is interesting. One of the other things that was brought up, I talked to a couple of folks at the home show who walked up, they're not aware of the facts. The fact is that Shasta County gets 13 cents back on the dollar out of property taxes. You know, Siskiyou County gets 12 cents. Lassen County gets 18 cents. Now, Mark, if you gave me a dollar and I gave you back 13 cents and said, I want you to handle, you know, all the infrastructure, health and safety, whatever you need to do in the schools, anything else in your county, here's 13 cents back. I get 87 cents, and I'm going to spend it the way I want. And, oh, by the way, when I give you your 13 cents back, there are strings on how you can spend this, and you can only spend it on these things.
Two words, pound sand.
Yeah, I agree. But the supervisors don't have the moral fortitude.
They don't. Absolutely.
And the courage
do
to do it. And we elected these guys, and it's absolutely, it's appalling, especially when you see some board of supervisors that have courage to do things, like some of the guys in Lassen and you know, the guys in Glenn County, the guys in Siskiyou County, guys in Modoc County. I mean, in Modoc County, heck, there's a couple of them that are Democrats, and still they understand that they need to fight for the people and fight for those water rights and say no, and they have a constitutional sheriff. To me, it's appalling, and I don't see why people aren't being more active
because
about this.
I'll tell you, Terry, it's because they're not being affected yet. The guys that need to stand up haven't got any skin in the game yet. It's not hurting them hard enough, because what we need is a groundswell of the community to start forcing our supervisors and our city council to start passing laws to protect us and put enough pressure on them and to let them know that we will get rid of them. We will recall them, whatever it takes to get them to. We need to start moving some laws forward. Some ordinances forward to protect us from the state government, from the federal government, and putting pressure on our local sheriff. Yep. To start keeping those people out of our county. You know, that's what needs to happen, and it's not going to happen until these people are hurt so bad, in my opinion, that it's almost going to be too late. And so that's what needs to happen. But that's what people need to do.
Start
applying the pressure.
And don't stop.
Quit playing footsies with these guys. Quit being worried about how the swells are going to not let you into their party, and start getting aggressive on getting some rules and some regulations passed to prevent the government overreach in our county and city.
And we have to do that.
Yes,
right.
We do.
Silas Lyons, in a response, you were talking before about that test that was happening at USC and other colleges where they were putting the hoses of diesel fuel fumes up these kids' noses. We wrote to Silas Lyons, actually Sal did. She wrote to him and said, you know, how come this isn't in the newspaper? And he said, well, you know, first of all, it really isn't in the purview of a local paper. And second of all, these kids probably breathe this stuff down there every day anyway.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, okay, well, then I wonder, I mean, really?
Exactly.
That was a response from this guy, and he's the editor of our paper. I mean, I was astonished. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe they do take in that much stuff every day. So it's okay to put a hose up their nose and do this stuff, and that's okay because it's something they intake every day.
It's not news.
I guess it's okay that the parents weren't told what they were doing it for.
It's not. That's not news. That's not news, Terry. Don't worry about that.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I'm pretty much amazed. The problem with writing at this point is too big to be little and too little to be big. And they really don't know what direction to go in. And I think a lot of the people that live in town,
I think they just sold the newspaper. I read that.
They did. And they're excited about it because they're going to get some money pumped in, and we're going to get a lot more from the Associated Press.
Oh, that's right there.
People don't know, I just want to throw this out there. On April 12th, we're going to have Dan Johnson on the radio program.
Nice.
And then also we're setting up, I'm working with him to set up a training class so people know. So they can learn how this actually works, so we can start getting the different people into power.
People don't have a very clear picture of how to affect the political change on their local, federal, and state governments.
It's way different than what we've been brought up to believe.
Well, here's something I think that's vitally, vitally important. I really think that things have changed. I understand there's some people that are apathetic and all that good stuff, but I'll give you two quick examples. One being Sierra County. Now, we've got to go up there Tuesday. We're doing a town hall up there, Sal and I, in Sierra County. They're excited. I mean, it's just a bunch of great people up there. They need 700 signatures to have, to virtually attach it to a declaration, because they'd have 51% of the last amount of people that voted in the gubernatorial race. They've already got 476. And the thing that's really amazing about that little county is that they want liberty. They're fighting for liberty. They've got a board of supervisors on their committee for Jefferson. And I know, Sissy, that Grandpa's really excited about you coming here Tuesday. but that's a whole other story. Anyway, the thing is that as we look at these different counties, I think that Shasta County, for the most part, the people are thumbs up on wanting liberty. It just seems to be a complete disconnect about with the Board of Supervisors and the City Council with the folks.
And with that, if you want to hang on, Terry, we'll catch you on the other side. But we do have to break and thank our sponsors before they cut us off here. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. I know a man, he came from my hometown. He wore his passion for his woman like a thorny crown. He said, Dolores, I live in fear. My love for you is so overpowering, I'm afraid that I will disappear.
Peter Pan live at the Cascade Theatre. Join Peter, Wendy, Michael and John in the high-flying, timeless Broadway musical that will whisk you away to a place where dreams are born and no one ever grows up. A perfect family show for the child in all of us. Peter Pan will have you soaring high on a wild adventure to Neverland. Come fly with us to the Cascade Theatre and experience this classic tale, Peter Pan. Purchase tickets now at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheatre.org.
4.5 million Americans would die each year without life-saving blood transfusions. You can help us save lives while being a winner, too.
The Diamond Drop is happening live at Reading Shasta Blood Center. Desi and I will be there from 10 to 5 showcasing a gorgeous diamond necklace, sponsored by Four Winds Jewelry. Challenge yourself and others in our Operation Save a Life campaign. It's the Diamond Drop, April 17th at Shasta Blood Center. Call 221-0600 and sign up today.
Simpson University, the Christian University of Northern California, announces its newest degree, the Master of Arts in Organizational Leadership. This distinctive graduate degree offers a unique concentration in nonprofit management and prepares graduates to function as highly skilled ethical leaders in a wide spectrum of organizations. We'd like to share more about our unique programs for developing the leadership skills in demand today. Speak with an enrollment professional now. Call us at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/lead.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew. Coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Time for a cool change. Time, I know that it's time for a cool change. Time, now that my life so
Northern Vine Radio, home of the Free Fire, community radio for the North State, and we're back.
I think we need more than a cool change.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking in the... Just saying.
I think we might have a hot change coming here pretty soon. I know. The stock market is rigged. I have a headline here, and then we'll get back to our callers. The stock market rigging theory is no longer conspiracy theory. This comes from the New York
Post. It's the truth.
It's actually the truth. We've got one of the insiders, Ed Yardini, a longtime Wall Street guru who isn't one of the clowns of the bunch, said flat out last week that the market is being propped up. These markets are all rigged, and I don't say that critically. I say it factually. And Yardini is saying that, hey, it's not a bad thing. Hey, just hop on board the pain train, and we're off to
the
races.
Yeah, what's the problem here, folks? Move along.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Unbelievable.
You know, so since corporations, what they're doing is they're buying back their own stock and propping up their stock.
Say so, it's not.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so with that, I just had to get that in because it's what I do. It's who I am. It's how I roll.
We have another caller on the line. We have Charles this morning.
We have Charles and Terry on the line.
Yeah.
Charles, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you got for us?
Well, a lot of people, when they make their decisions on who to vote for or not, they don't look past the endorsement list. I mean, you see an endorsement list of a particular candidate, and they go, okay, I like this person, I like this person, I like this person. And since they all have endorsed candidate X, then candidate X must be a really good guy because... You know, look at his endorsement list, never mind the fact that candidate X might be lying out his
patootie?
Orifice.
His patootie? Yeah, it's true.
His ears.
Yeah, it's true, Charles.
I mean, it's an appeal to authority fallacy, which is an offshoot of the argumentum ad hominem fallacy, which is argument to the man, which is not logical at all. It's a fallacy of argument, and it means that people really aren't thinking very well, if at all. They're just looking at the endorsement list, and they go, "Oy."
Well, that's probably very true.
You know, the thing is, we got to start getting people that are going to be fiscally responsibility and start talking about liberty in the Constitution and following that and holding them accountable if they don't recall them. These guys, what they're doing is they're just selling things back to you. Oh, we're going to have more police and fire, and we're going to have better benefits, and we're going to make sure that the unions get a raise, and you know, and by the way, we're not going to talk about the fact that we're telling people that they can't talk at the city council meetings anymore, but you know, but they're just, what they're given is they're just placating everybody with the crap they want to hear, and so they vote for them, and then everybody just goes home and forgets about it unless you're at the meetings.
Well, I think too that, you know, when you look at all the city councils, like Charles is saying, the people who get elected, you know, don't let your heart be troubled in the fact that this isn't all the counties. Again, I can think of boards of supervisors that are great people that really want to do it. I mean, some guys up in Lassen County, they're amazing. They're, you know, Jeff's been amazing. These guys are the real deal. You know, they want to just go back to work when they get done. They want to get the job done for the people. But Shasta County, I'm telling you, is completely unique, for the most part, than a lot of the counties. They're, what we see here isn't really even, I don't think, the norm.
Well, you know, Terry,
This is a unique cast of characters we've got here doing some unique things, and I think in another case, Charles, is that, you know, who are you going to vote against? You know, against David Keogh, nobody ran against him. You know, you've got people that don't run against people. You've got hundreds of thousands of dollars that go into one guy's campaign to become a city council member because a few people have stock in that, I would assume.
Well, Terry, we got the best city council and the best board of supervisors that money can buy.
That's right.
You know, we talk about the McConnell Foundation, and we talk about this mitigation bank and the carbon credits. You know something? People got to get off this thing. Well, oh, gee, you know, did Hitler ever do anything nice? Oh, of course he did. So that just means that everything else he did, he got a pass. That's what we're talking about with McConnell. I'm not trying to say that he's the Nazi or Hitler. What I'm saying is, okay, they did some good things in the community. They spent some money. They got Turtle Bay. They did a few things. I'm not sure that was good. But now they get a pass on everything, really? But that's what people are doing. And the candidates for city council, four of them, all wanted the Turtle Bay deal. All wanted, you know, they're all on for the, all the McConnell stuff, and anybody that was against them, you know, they don't get the money. So the money's coming in from someplace to support the people that support the biggest organization in the, and the biggest landowner in the county. And then you got the Haas, connection to the Board of Supervisors. It's money that's buying these elections for these people.
I was going to say, follow the money. Unfortunately, that's what it's coming down to.
Well, I think, again, you know, as we, as you look around the North State and, you know, I mean, this is not the norm, okay?
I
mean, I'm not saying that there aren't other counties with problems. Believe me, there aren't. There are. But what I'm saying is that we are unique in the fact that we have allowed them to do so many things. And we've let them do so many things to us along with, I mean, I don't care how you stretch it. They may not have taken away our First Amendment rights by putting the public comment at the end, but they certainly curtailed it.
Sure.
In fact, in Brown versus Thompson, a Supreme Court case that virtually overturned Reynolds versus Sims, which was one man, one vote, they actually said that if you take away representation from the people, it will suppress the vote of that given people. So that, again, I mean, you could drive a truck through that one. Understanding that if they just do what they want when they want to do it, and we let them, I mean, and people just, you know, in a lot of cases they try to stand up, but when you do, you're chastised by the paper, you're chastised as being mean spirited, and at what point do we say, you know what, that isn't really what the people believe? Because when you get out amongst the people of Reading and out amongst the majority of them, they really don't believe that. It's just that few that are trying to hold their little game together. And that's a bad deal. It's a bad deal.
Well, people
well,
need
Jesus
to
said
go ahead.
Something along the lines of "Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so they spoke of the false prophets."
Well, you know, I mean, what do we need to do about it? People need to show up and put pressure on these guys.
Get involved.
Get involved. Start putting pressure on these guys, because as soon as they start seeing that they're at risk, and we need to start telling the truth. That's the other thing. That's what this show's trying to do, is throw the PC gloves off and start saying, hey, you know, these guys, they don't operate in the best interest of the people. They operate in their own best interest in most cases, and there's a couple of exceptions. There's Gary Cadd, there's Bill Chappell, who are trying to do the work of the people. But people need to show up and start getting involved and putting pressure on these guys. And I'm not saying call them up with nice letters. I'm saying they got to be let known that we're not pleased with them, and we need to start getting rid of them, and they better start passing laws that protect us, not steal from us.
And the people,
it's not
that,
just passing laws, though. It's enforcing
existing laws
that exist, particularly with regard to McConnell Gate and Mitigation Gate.
Yep, I agree. Yep. And there's going to be more and more stuff coming out of that, by the way. And people need to go to the Shasta Lantern and get the real news.
And what people have to realize, they're not the only ones. A lot of people say, well, I can't stand up against the Board of Supervisors myself. There's a lot of people that will stand behind you, but somebody's got to make a stand and start speaking out. You know,
well,
there's a lot of people.
And I think there are people that are trying to do that. The challenge is that what do you do? I mean, the recourse that we have with the people we have in place, and by the way, Carl Bott on his radio program, I believe it was last Thursday, I know he made the statement, I think it was last Thursday, had called the board, the city council, the Imperial Council. You know, when you look at what really what's going on and most people are standing up against what they're doing, what can people do? I believe that the only thing we can do at this point is to start recalling who we have in these city councils.
I agree.
And get some investigative reporting on what they're doing.
I agree. That's
and we have to get involved and get ready for the next election, too.
Well, and
get behind somebody.
And you got to get alternative sources of news, the Shasta Lantern, the state, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds. You know, you've got to get your news from someplace that's not trying to slant anything in any particular way. You know, I'm not Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm actually an independent libertarian who wants the truth and wants the best for our country. And you know, we can't keep soft peddling what these politicians do. I mean, they do anything to get in office, and then they ignore us when they get there.
I know that Linda's correct. We have to get good people to run, Linda. You're right about that.
Yeah,
the challenge is, as we're all saying here, time's short.
Yep.
With what's going on with the stock market, the economy, et cetera, time is short. And, you know, when whatever happens, happens, it would be nice to have a unity of people who want liberty. Because, again, nothing's really going to matter if we don't have our liberty. And one thing I'd like to even ask the listeners and everybody here, can anybody name besides your mind one thing that the government, the state, doesn't control or have a regulation on? Name just one.
Well, you know, there you have it.
So we're already there, and I think people are waking up. I think for the most part, nobody knows what to do. So what do you do with these folks? I mean,
Terry, I think that you've got to get to the point where the alternative is that if you don't get involved, you know, the whole thing goes to crap, for whatever better terms. What I'm saying is this, is that it's got to get really bad before people have to get their dog in the hunt, because that if they don't feel enough pressure, if it doesn't hurt enough, then it's too easy to just not get involved. It's too easy to say, oh, I can't do anything, and go out and keep playing baseball or doing whatever you're doing. But when you can't feed your children, or when you can't pay your mortgage, or when you can't, support yourself, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and hopefully that's going to be enough to step everybody up.
Well, with all due respect, it's going to most likely get there, but in the interim, people are standing up, Mark. I mean, look at Vince Stevenson. 300 businesses are going nose to nose and toe to toe with city council. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Okay.
Mark, those things are happening. People are standing up. As you know, Walt McNeil is standing up for several different, 300 businesses. When you stop and look at everything that's going on, the thing is that, you know, people are standing up. It's just, what can they do other than recall these folks? Or maybe there is some things that's happened. I'm not privy to a lot of investigative reporting, but maybe there are some things that need to be done legally. I mean, that's what I'm saying, and apparently there are some people acting on that. But, I mean, this is a very critical, critical issue. And I do take pause with a police station that looks like a military compound.
Well, that's it. I don't know if I have all the answers, Terry. I agree with you that people are doing it. People are starting to get more and more into the fight. I don't know. This might get to a point where there's blood in the streets, quite frankly, and I hope that it doesn't. But I think that we might have to get there before these politicians will wake up and realize that they are not the supreme beings. They are not the people in control. It's the people, and the people have to get to a point, I guess, whether it's riots or what it takes, but, you know, at some point in time, if we don't get control of these guys, we might as well just call them the Acalde, pretend we're in early California, but there's no Zorro.
Well, I think we hold them to the law. I think that what we have to have is real investigative reporting. We know that Silas Lyons and his crew aren't going to give us that. We know that. Or if they are, it's going to be this slant. Because, you know, one day you're the good guy, one day you're the bad guy.
Right.
That kind of thing. It's whatever's going to sell papers. It has nothing to do, really, with what's going on. You would think if there, and again, I'm not really privy to a lot of the different things, but if there's all these different issues that are going on with the pilot, it's like, you know, with what happened, what about the clawback? Nothing there. You know, what about the IRS investigation of the city council? I mean, all this different stuff that's going on, and there is absolutely nothing.
That's the tactic, Terry, is they black out anything that they don't want to get out to the public, and the sheeple, the dumbed down guys out there, they just it's they don't hear the noise, so they don't pay attention, I guess. But you know, that's the problem. Our media just blacks out anything that goes against the narrative.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's a huge
problem.
Yeah,
it's up to us and the people to change that.
Well,
you know, and get the information out to the people in the community. And I'm not saying that you're not doing it, Terry. There's a lot of people, but, you know, we got to just keep pushing and going forward and getting the information out there. And hopefully they can take it and push it out more and expose more of these people for what they really are.
All we can do right now is keep doing what we're trying to do, is keep getting that information out there,
yes.
Keep doing what we can do.
So if you know something, the listeners out there, if you know something, or we need to be enlightened with something or need to investigate something that we may not know about, please get a hold of us.
Yeah, get a hold of us here at the station.
If you want to come on the air, we'll be more than happy to put you on the air with what's going on.
Get a hold of the Shasta Lantern. You can go to ShastaLantern.net or you can email me at KentMark@MSN.com. That's KentMark@MSN.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to the right people. We need to expose all these people for what they are, and the more exposure they get, the more exposure to sunlight they get, the more that people are going to realize how corrupt these people are.
Yeah, and we need help with that because we only know so much. I mean, we only have so much time in the day, so if you can help us out with that, listeners, help us, please.
Yeah, either that or we can just keep going the way we're going. And, I think that we're going to, sooner or later, this is all going to happen. I think we're going to split the state. I think that we are going to see the state of Jefferson. And at the very least, we're going to see a change in the structure of how the senators and the legislators are elected, to one per county and so forth. Because otherwise, this whole thing's imploding. You might as well move to Arizona and just let the state go under.
Well, actually, Arizona is who we were interviewed by yesterday, and they're dealing with their own set of issues. However, they're beginning to tell the feds to pound sand.
Exactly.
And I think that again, it really is one county at a time. It really is one county. And folks have to realize, some people who just move here, they're enamored with the beauty. It's so beautiful here. And,
sure.
And it's great, and it's homier than it was, in Los Angeles. But the point is that as long as we allow these things to happen, within a year, you're not going to recognize it. I would submit to you, if you moved here 5 years ago and you see it today, you wouldn't recognize it.
That's so true.
Anyway, time has come for 51, you two. I've got to be on about my work over at the home show, and you guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you for what you do, and you guys, great guest today. He was very enjoyable. I hope you have him on again.
Yes, very we good. Will have him back. Thank very you,
right,
Terry.
You too.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Charles. Thanks, Terry, for calling in. That's what we need to do, and we're just going to keep on doing it and as best we can. Neither one of us were professionals when we started this. I don't think we're professionals now.
We're not now, but.
But we're trying to get this turned around so that we don't end up in a state of.
Yeah, you got to keep trying.
Perpetual
government. It's hard, but you got to just keep trying.
Yeah, you can't give up.
You can't give up. There's always hope.
Well, there is hope, and I think that things are starting to turn around, but it's like turning an aircraft carrier around. It takes a little while to get the ship pointed in the other direction. It's starting to.
Right.
The founding fathers gave us the tools, but you've got to be educated, and as well as education, you have to start taking action.
Yes.
You just can't sit back and learn everything and soak it up like a sponge and, be a big brainiac and then sit on your couch and watch the Giants.
And like Terry said, what part of our lives isn't the government involved in? So there's got to be something that you find passionate, whether it's education, the laws, the police, whatever it is. There's something that you can get involved in and stand up for.
Well, we need to stand up for liberty, not for the handouts. We got to get away from the handouts. You got to get away from the federal government giving us money, the state government from giving us money. We got to separate ourselves from that. Start becoming self-reliant, self-sufficient at the local and the county level. And, and everybody's going to take a cut here, whether they like it or not.
You're going to be uncomfortable. That's for sure.
Well, like Lori says, we're preaching to the choir out here, but I think we're starting to get more and more people out there to listen because, we've been hammering the drum and banging the drum for a long time now, and I think the audience is getting wider and wider because at some point in time, you can't ignore this anymore. You can't just say, they're just malcontents and they're the haters and this and that. When you can't pay your mortgage, then it's a problem, I guess, and I guess that's where we got to go.
When you can't buy food at the grocery store because you can't afford it.
Well, and that's where we're headed. I mean, we're going to see a problem of epic proportion as this goes on, and there's no stopping it now, in my opinion. We just have to start taking care of business.
And with that, I guess we only have a few minutes left. I may want to let people know who's at the Reading Tea Party on Monday. Alex Landy?
Alex Landy is going to be talking about immigration.
I believe so.
And, you know, we there was other things that we could have talked about today about the bill from Democrats rejected the Gallagher's legislation to expedite water storage. You know, I had that on the table. I was going to try to talk about the immigration. We didn't get to it, but that's on Monday night. And come down to the Tea Party and get yourselves educated and learn what you can do to get actively involved.
And I want to let people know again, on April 12th, we'll have Dan Johnson on the radio from Panda, and then we will also let you know when we're setting up to do the education piece, classroom setting, so you can understand more of how the system works politically and to get people elected into office that you want.
Well, and I want to, Scott in the chat room says all the Tea Party does is preach to the choir. Well, I want to take a umbrage with that, because you know something? It's not that we're preaching to the choir. The choir hasn't showed up. I mean, we need more and more people to show up. We've taken a different direction. We're not in LaMalfa's pocket. We don't have a staffer running the thing anymore. You know, the Tea Party is going in a different direction now of training people to get involved politically to do something. You know, and we've got a bad rap from the media. We've got a bad rap from the local, national, any media you talk about. They've tried to down us. They've tried to squash us. They've tried to put us out of business. They've tried to hold up funding. They've done everything they can in order to put us out of business. Maybe people ought to wake up and see that that is something that needs to happen as far as showing up. So why aren't people showing up, Scott? Good question. Because I don't know. Have they been dumbed down? They don't care anymore. Maybe they're getting involved in other projects. Are they winning? I don't think so. I think what's happening is that people are just fanning out into different areas, and people are starting to get involved in different areas.
Yeah, a lot of us are real busy and spread pretty thin. So grab somebody and bring them along with you. Somebody new. That's one more person we didn't have last week.
Well, we ran out of time again, as usual. Remember, Brennan Tea Party, Monday night, 6 p.m. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
This has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Working with my hands. Oh, believe.
All right. All In is next here at KCNR Shasta Reading.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Secretary of State John Kerry is extending his stay in Switzerland, where nuclear talks with Iran are approaching a Tuesday deadline for a preliminary deal. Republican Senator Richard Burr advises caution.
I would encourage the administration, let's take more time. Let's not hasten to a deal. And I fear that Secretary Kerry believes that he's got to get a deal by Tuesday.
Burr tells CBS TV's Face the Nation the Iranians are not trustworthy and more assurances would be needed before a good deal could be struck. Meanwhile, a summit of Arab leaders has ended in Egypt today with a warning that Saudi-led airstrikes in Yemen will continue until the Iranian-backed Shiite rebels there withdraw and lay down their arms. The leaders also agreed in principle to forming a joint Arab military force. Singaporeans turned out in their tens of thousands today to pay final respects to longtime leader Lee Kuan Yew. The eulogy was...